This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Members of the Texas National Guard have arrived in Illinois. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says the Trump administration has not told him how and where they'll use the troops, and that there are no communications with local authorities.
This is not about deportation. This is not about safety for this president. This is about authoritarianism. It's about stoking fear. It's about breaking the Constitution that would give him that much more control over our American cities.
Amidst the pending deployment, Attorney General Pam Bondi clashing with Illinois senior senator at a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
The government shutdown entering its second week, with Republicans demanding a clean vote on a stopgap spending bill to keep the government running. Democrats insisting that exploding health care costs need to be addressed. This is ABC News. A truck driver has filed a lawsuit against former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez and Fox Corporation following a bloody fight. Sanchez is facing charges, and the prosecutor says they could be upgraded.
The lead prosecutor, Ryan Mears, telling me video evidence determined Sanchez, who's now charged with a felony, was the clear aggressor when he attacked 69-year-old Perry Toll over parking. Toll, a delivery truck driver, was in the middle of his shift when Sanchez approached.
The confrontation doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. Aggravated battery is even a more serious charge or crime that could potentially be at play here.
Toll telling police he thought Sanchez was, quote, trying to kill me.
ABC's Matt Rivers. The hundreds of hikers and other staff who got stranded by a weekend snowstorm on the Chinese side of Mount Everest have been rescued. State media says 580 hikers, over 300 guides, yak-herders, and other workers brought down Monday and Tuesday. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a Triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory overnight, mostly clear, patchy frost, and lows in the upper 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. And continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the upper 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It's now 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock here on a Tuesday, October 7th. 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. The Old World Headquarters, downtown Madison at the intersection of State and Fairchild. An absolutely gorgeous day, although I pulled the blinds just because it was getting hot in here. I have my brewer for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like. I have my 3/4 zip brew crew shirt. Brewers, huge win once again last night over the Cubs. At AmFam Field, they are one win away. They have 3 opportunities to do so in the National League Divisional Series, and then they'll be on to the Championship Series against what's looking like the Dodgers, although maybe the Phillies could come back. We'll see. Dodgers lead 2-0 over the Philadelphia Phillies in that one. But what a game last night for the crew. We're going to be talking about it here in just a little bit. And also at the bottom of the hour, because I want to stick around, brand new Wisconsin political reporter at Wisconsin Watch is going to be here. She's going to be here in studio and talking about a story on, it affects the Chippewa Valley area, especially our listeners at WCFW, the TAP, and that area. But it really transcends to an issue that I know we've talked about and our friends Gene Matner and Greg Bach have talked about, homeless veterans in this state. And the state budget, let's just put it down there where the chickens can get at it. The state budget, the bipartisan state budget, screwed some veterans over. And both sides, Republicans and Democrats, knew this, and yet, you know, the good of the many outweighed the need of the few. Or the one, to put it in Star Trek lingo. But it's very unfortunate, has very real consequences, and now there is a bill trying to repair this damage that was done, particularly to a closing of a veteran's shelter in the Chippewa Valley area. So we'll hear from Wisconsin Watch at the bottom of the hour of the chances of this being passed, signed into law, and what it could mean for perhaps not just veterans in the Chippewa Valley area, but all across the state. So we'll be talking about that. It's also Aaron Zommer's Taco Tuesday, National Taco Tuesday Day. How about that?
I look forward to acquiring some tacos later.
Yes. I was going to bring some in, but it's been a very busy day, you understand. So
there's a lot going on.
We don't have tacos here in studio, but our what's worse today have anything to do with tacos. So stick around for that in hour two as well. Also, I got to talk a little bit about politics today.
this morning, kind of breaking across some of the wires. Attorney General for Wisconsin Josh Call announced he will not run for governor of Wisconsin, but rather he will run for re-election to the Attorney General's office. So going to have some domino effects. People on both sides were kind of eyeing, waiting for whether Josh Call would run for re-election for Attorney General, and would they then hop into that potentially open seat? Well, it won't be. Josh Call is in for another term, at least to run for another term, and that may have repercussions on the Democratic side, the race for governor, where now perhaps former lieutenant governor, former U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes may now get into that race. We shall see. Going to talk, and also Dan Bice with some more titillating news. Not quite, not nearly as titillating as Bill Berrien.
Yeah, I don't think this is a campaign ending.
He's a very titillating guy, I understand. But this one, our I was going to say old friend jokingly, but no, he's not really. Tom Tiffany, Congressman Tom Tiffany, who is running for governor on the Republican side. Apparently, he's done some housekeeping. And Dan Bice did a little investigation. We'll tell you about it. And yes, it's not salacious info, but it's very notable why Tom Tiffany is cleaning things up on his campaign website. I'll tell you why I think that's important and how it could have ramifications on both sides of the governor's race. And in particular, I believe it puts Democrats in a hole. How does Tom Tiffany cleaning up his website put Democrats in a hole politically? I'll give you my thoughts on that in a little while as well. And your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But Aaron Zomers, did you watch the game last night?
I sure did. And so my roommate, Elliot, who I've talked about before, big Cubs fan from Illinois. We had another one of our friends who's super into baseball over, and so Elliot's wearing his Cubs hat, and this other friend is wearing her Brewers hat and jacket and everything, and they just take turns, for the first inning, they take turns yelling and cheering and standing up, and then for the rest of the game, it was just one of them doing that. It was very amusing.
When you're in a mixed crowd like that, meaning mixed sports teams, that could be interesting. Now, was there a lot of alcohol imbibed or no? It was a fairly sober
event. We each had a beer.
All right. So nothing out of control. Because I think that's where things get sideways, is that people get a little too intoxicated and then they get a little, too hyper.
No, this was all just good-natured fun, ribbing each other.
All right, very good. Well, let's play you a couple of cuts here regarding last night's game. Now, here's the deal. The Brewers got down into a hole early on as the Cubs in the first inning put up three runs on the Brewers. And it you thought, oh, geez, here they come. But no. Little woodpecker baseball, as Pat Murphy likes to call it. Got a couple of guys on base. And then this is the call, I believe, on TBS. Last night on television, Andrew Vaughn, who, of course, came over from the Chicago White Sox. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, trade for the Brew Crew. Andrew Vaughn steps to the plate. Here was the call on TBS last night.
Inaga has struggled in the regular season in the first inning. Another payoff. And it's a high fly ball to left field. Happ underneath it in front of the wall. This ball's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties the game with one swing. He's done it again.
This ballpark has always been a good hitter's ballpark, and it had enough and produces three runs.
How about that? Andrew Vaughn, courtesy of TBS last night.
That was a very fun tying home run to watch because the ball went so high. We were all sure it was going to come back down short.
Yeah, but no, anyway, high, out there, gone. Zomers, I just sent you a clip from the Brewers Radio Network call. Let me know when that's queued up because Jackson Chirio, it's kind of like when Jonathan Taylor played for the Wisconsin Badgers and he was a phenom and all the national guys kept saying, he's only 17. And he was. And last night, a lot of the national call guys were saying, Jackson Chirio, just 21 years old.
And there was some concern because we talked about Churio kind of re-aggravating that hamstring that kept him out for about a month, sidelined him. But no, he was in the starting lineup. He was in the leadoff position. And this from the Brewers Radio Network, which you heard last night on several of these stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. This, his three-run blast as the Brewers take a commanding lead. Here is Lane Grindle's call on the Brewers Radio Network.
Valencia's 0-2 pitch and a fly ball to center. Hit well. PCA's back at the track. Wall! Gone! The lights are never too bright for the 21-year-old Jackson Churio. A three-run blast.
How about that? I mean, that guy, and Murph said it, other people said it last night, this is what makes Jackson Churio a star, a superstar. Because when the lights are brightest, he meets the call. It's not just that he's good, it's when the pressure's on, he meets the call. Abner Uribe was the closer last night. By the way, the Miz was fantastic. Jacob Mizorowski came in. Was it three innings he pitched or four?
I think it was one of those.
Three and a half, something like that. Three and two-thirds. But the Miz came 104-mile-per-hour fastball. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was Abner Uribe coming on. Here is how it does. The final call last night, I believe, by Lane Grindle on the call here for the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network as the Brewers closed it out at AmFam last night.
Uribe at the belt. Kicks and deals. Slider struck him out. Uribe strikes out the side. He puts it in the holster, and the Brewers have a 2-0 lead in the division series.
Apologies. Jeff Levering. How could I get those two mixed up? Jeff Levering on the call there. You heard it on several of our Milwaukee Brewer Radio Network's stations last night. I mean, really exciting. And I mean, I just hung on every pitch. And underrated was the defensive play by both Churio, who went up against the wall at one point, and then Frelick, who ended up hopping up on top of a wall to make another catch. Would have been foul balls, but they ended up being out. Wonderful defense. Terang had some nice plays. Ortiz had some nice plays. And Pat Murphy, manager for the Brewers. How about that? It was a bullpen game. On the other side, Craig Counsell, former Milwaukee Brewer, after the game, was asked. Our own Mike Clemens was there, a great sports reporter. Nobody does it better. Clemens in the room when Craig Counsell was asked, how did it feel blowing the lead?
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3 on homers. Is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3 on homers. That was just too much to overcome.
Craig Counsell, too much to overcome, was right. On the other side of the clubhouse walls, Pat Murphy for the Brewers asked about the performance of Andrew Vaughn.
He's in AAA, and he's struggling in AAA. And the game humbled him. And it just goes to show you how mental this game is. And then all of a sudden, he gets his opportunity, doesn't say a word, keeps his head down. It's been a joy to be around him. I mean, I don't know how many games he's been here, but yeah. And the team trusts him. They just trust him.
They certainly do trust him. And what a performance last night. Do we have time for the William Contreras one, Zomers, or should we do that when we come back? All right, so William Contreras got a big homer. We played it there earlier, and we didn't play the William one, did we? On William Contreras' home run? Not yet. Anyway, Contreras also getting a dinger. And after he did, he made his right hand, like he was talking on the phone, and then hung it up. As if to say that was Craig Counsell's call to the bullpen. The press asked him, "Who are you calling there last night or after, during the game, Contreras?"
Brewer fans. The Brewer fans. I think I'm gonna do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm gonna do everything for my teammate. I wanna like be one of the best in the play. I don't wanna be the best catcher, but I wanna be the one like they have to look Contreras how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. I think they're going to be good for the pitcher. They're going to be sick for the players. And now it's showtime.
There's William Contreras, who answered all the questions in his first language, Spanish, except that one. With a smile on his face and a wink and a nod, he said, I was just calling the Brewers fans. I'm ready. It's showtime. It's showtime indeed. One more cut. How about that Mizorowski 104-mile-per-hour fastball? Didn't Vaughn call it? We'll hear it in his own words after this on the Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shore lines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I asked him, what do we need? He said, I don't know. Well, why did we drive to Sears? He said, it's good to hear some baseball on the radio. And for now, your mother's not here. For now, your mother's not here.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's play a little bit. Baseball on the radio, where it's meant to be. 23 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Zomers tell us that it was sent by our friend, our colleague, the award-winning Terry Barr.
See, Terry Barr is always on top of the best music, local music here in Wisconsin. That is written and performed by Terry's friends Willie Porter and Dave Adler, based over in southeast Wisconsin. And it is called, as you might expect, Baseball on the Radio.
Nicely done. Yeah, we'll hear a little bit more of that as the Brewers progress here. Hopefully, several games left in the postseason for the crew. Thank you, Terry, for alerting us to that. Thank you, guys, for letting us play a little bit of. Don't forget, you can join Terry Barr every Saturday night from 6 until, is it 9 now?
I think.
We'll figure that out. On Max Inc. Radio, right here at WMDX in Madison. If you don't live in the Madison area, you can catch it via the Civic Media app. It is free, takes less than a minute to download. So get the Civic Media app, listen to Max Inc. Radio on Saturday nights. All right, talking a little bit more about the Brewers, wrapping this up. After the game, after the crew had beaten the Cubs and got up to a commanding 2-0 lead in a best-of-5 game series, move, by the way, no game tonight. Next game tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. So, yes, most of our show will be an extended Brewers pregame show tomorrow.
And then soon as we're off the air.
Yes, yes. Well, the pregame, for some of our stations, they'll be leaving this, I think, at 3:35-ish for the pregame show.
Well, I just mean both of us are going to be busy the second the show's over.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So after the game, the Miz technically was a bullpen game, meaning that several guys came in for one or two innings, but the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, got the win. He was the longest person on the mound and, you know, had a couple of just crazy pitches, but most of it was centered. They were, I can't remember how many balls thrown over 100 miles per hour. One of them, a 104-mile-per-hour fastball. After the game, Andrew Vaughn and the Miz in the presser room where Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, was asked about that 104-mile-per-hour pitch.
Jacob, for those of us who are unacquainted with the feeling, could you describe what throwing over 104 feels like?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I wasn't really feeling anything. There was so much adrenaline, and, you know, it was really wasn't feeling anything. I was just kind of doing it.
Jacob, I was curious if you knew it was 104. Did you peek? And I guess, Andrew, as a first baseman, do you ever peek, and did you turn around and see what the gun said?
When he was warming up, actually, I was talking to our infielders, and I go, he's going to throw 104 right here. And he did, so it was kind of funny. But, yeah, I definitely took a peek up at the big board.
How about that? Vaughn predicts it, calls it. All right, one more. So this is pretty funny. Because at one point, I think it was the last out that the Miz had, whoever he was facing for the Cubs hit kind of a grounder, infield grounder that Miz picked up. And you know, he could have easily tossed it to Vaughn at first base to get the out. But the Miz just kind of keeps it and says, I got to, and just runs and outruns the Cubs batter to hit first base first for the out. And it was kind of weird. It was like, why didn't Miz just throw it to Vaughn? Why did he keep it? They asked him in the press conference.
Walk me through that thought process. When you get the one hopper from Kelly, you're walking over to first. You signal, I got this, to Vaughn, and then you stepped on. Was there a little communication between you two in the head, like, I got this one?
I was honestly scared to, overthrow Vaughn and do something stupid. so it was more of a, I didn't want to mess something up, and it was more just the adrenaline was pumping and hands kind of locked up, and I was like, okay, I can beat him, let's just take it. So
how is that for an honest answer? I love that. Just fade. I was scared that I'd mess it up. I just thought, yeah, it's in my hands. I can outrun the guy. You know, I'm not going to mess it up. And
he was right.
A bad underhand throw and, you know.
It's also kind of funny to watch the video of that, because when he says, I'm not going to mess it up, there's a little pause. He starts to form the letter F with his
mouth. Right. He kept it clean for
he did.
For
it was a close radio. One.
Yeah. Look, I don't know where this is all going to end. Nobody does. But if you are not on the Brewers bandwagon yet, there's plenty of room for you. And get on. Because it is so fun watching and listening to these young guys who truly seem to care about one another. The salty old manager, Pat Murphy, who you can tell just loves the guys but is old school. This is just the right mix of people, in my opinion. And they have so much fun playing this game. And there's nobody making godzillions of dollars on this team. I mean, Yelich is probably the top person, and comparatively speaking to a lot of the players today, you know, he's probably in the top tier, but not, you know, in the superstar category in terms of money. But boy, are these guys playing their hearts out. No game, as we said today. Let me grab my slips here that I normally should have in front of me, Zombers, but I forgot. Hang on.
They're
make sure they have your the correct times for the games. Well, they're I thought they were in here. They're in here. They're not in here. It doesn't matter. The Brewers play tomorrow, as we said, pregame show right around the 3:30 mark, and then the first pitch will get underway just after 4:00 on many of our fine stations, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, Park Falls, WCQM, and WBZH, the Buzz of the North in Hayward, over the air on terrestrial radio. So tune in for the great call on the Brewers Radio Network. If you want to watch them as well, they're back on the TBS network of stations. I don't know how to say it. There's TNN, TNT, TBS. It's mainly TBS, I think. All right, we're going to come back and talk about Wisconsin veterans after this. Not going to want to miss it, but stay tuned now for the Wisconsin Farm Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke and her crew.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Members of the Texas National Guard have arrived in Illinois. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says the Trump administration has not told him how and where they'll use the troops, and that there are no communications with local authorities.
This is not about deportation. This is not about safety for this president. This is about authoritarianism. It's about stoking fear. It's about breaking the Constitution that would give him that much more control over our American cities.
Amidst the pending deployment, Attorney General Pam Bondi clashing with Illinois senior senator at a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
The government shutdown entering its second week, with Republicans demanding a clean vote on a stopgap spending bill to keep the government running, Democrats insisting that exploding health care costs need to be addressed. This is ABC News.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a Triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wava. Actor Channing Tatum says the Hollywood system is upside down, and the way things are now, actors are encouraged to make bad films to cash in as opposed to focusing on artful films. During an episode of Hot Ones on YouTube, Tatum wolfed down some spicy hot wings and talked about how streaming has good and bad effects on the industry, insinuating that there are more opportunities to do good work, but also more paychecks out there for bad work. Tatum's new film, Roofman, opens October 10th. Speaking of Roofman, Tatum's co-star Kirsten Dunst has come along way since she was in the film Interview with a Vampire with Tom Cruise at the age of 11. The actress has had a 30-plus year career in Hollywood with credits that include Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Bring It On, Spider-Man, and Civil War. Dunst recently told People.com she attributes her long career to two things: friends and family. Roofman opens this weekend in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory overnight, mostly clear, patchy frost, and lows in the upper 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. And continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the upper 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any, and the political fallout in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it with Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I had a bad habit of missing lovers past. My brother used to call it eating out of the trash. It's never gonna last. I thought my house was haunted.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's been a busy week, Zommers. We haven't even talked about the fact that Taylor Swift has a new album out.
No, we have not. Or her new concert movie.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews on
We'll get to Swifty news maybe a little bit later on this week here. But probably more important news-wise, not sure fun-wise, but news-wise, always great to have our friends at Wisconsin Watch here, a great online publication. You can find all of the work at Wisconsin, spelled out wisconsinwatch.org. And joining us here, someone who has a little Taylor on her playlist or Spotify playlist, yes. Brittany Carlone, the new state government and politics reporter at Wisconsin Watch. Brittany, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So you're a Swiftie.
Yes, not as intense as some of my friends are. I have a friend who's getting married at the end of October, and the album on Friday was like the best thing that's happened to her probably until she gets married. And then
And you know there's going to be Taylor Swift music at the reception, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It would be a surprise if it wasn't.
Well, a pleasure to have you here. Before we get into this great story, important story, as we do with everyone new here on the show, tell us a little bit about yourself, Brittany, where you grew up and how you got into the journalism field.
Yeah. So I'm originally from the Milwaukee area. My parents still live in Greendale, went to Greendale High School, suburban growing up for me. I went to Marquette for journalism school, had some really wonderful opportunities, specifically with the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I thought I was going to be in Milwaukee my entire life, but an opportunity came up to go work in Florida once I graduated.
Wow.
And so I spent about 4.5 years at the Naples Daily News in Southwest Florida. It's where I really kind of cut my teeth in local government reporting. But the pandemic hit and I said, I don't want to be near the beach anymore. I need to see the trees change colors. And then I moved to Indiana and spent the last 4.5 years at the Indianapolis Star covering local, state, and federal government there. And then I said, hey, I don't want to be in Indiana anymore. Yeah. And this opportunity at Wisconsin Watch came up and I was like, this is my chance to come home and to really do work that can help people in the state that is my home and that I grew up in. So
that's
here
awesome.
I am.
That's fantastic. Indianapolis Star, great publication, did a lot of great work over the years. And a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But for about 8 months, I lived on Marco Island and worked in Naples.
Are you serious?
That's one of my favorite places.
Yes, we'll have to talk
about that. You ever go to the Snook Inn on Marco
No,
for lunch?
But there are so many people who, that's just a
the
regular.
The Snook Inn. If you're ever down in Marco Island, go to the Snook Inn. All right, well, as they say, that's not why you're called.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's great that you have this opportunity to come home. Great that you've, I always think it's good when people have gone away and done some things, and it gives you a different perspective.
Absolutely.
On your hometown, your home state. You bring a different lens, I think, to it. So I think that's fantastic as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I really think this is a chance for me to come home to do work that I'm excited about the work that my colleagues have done at Wisconsin Watch, and only being a month in, I'm really, really excited about what I can do over at the Capitol. There's a lot for me to catch up on and already starting to dive into things.
There's no want of news stories
in
the state capitol, right? We have this very important story. People can find it again at wisconsinwatch.org. Headline, can Wisconsin's split government pass a bill to support homeless veterans. Governor Tony Evers says he supports a Republican bill that would restore funding for Wisconsin's veterans' homes that closed in September. But the bill's prospects in the assembly remain unclear. I think this is such important reporting. Let's set it up a little bit. Tell us the background. We're speaking with Brittany Carlone, the state of government and political reporter at WisconsinWatch.org. What led us to this point? Why were these veterans facilities closed, and why wasn't this a part of the state budget, first of all?
So I want to make sure I credit, before we even get into this, one of the Wisconsin Watch interns over the summer. I believe she's still a student at Northwestern, wrote a very compelling, very great piece of journalism about the initial impacts of the money for these veterans' homes not being included in the state budget agreement that was eventually signed by the governor. That is also on Wisconsin Watch's website, and it's linked in my story.
Oh, so look at
if people find it, it's linked in that story. She talked to veterans who spent time in these homes in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay that closed in September. And it's really, these homes provided resources for people who were really struggling, whether it was homelessness, recovery efforts for maybe like drug addictions and things like that. It's really helping these people who served our country and who have hit very vulnerable parts in their lives. But to go back to what's going on in the Capitol right now, Governor Evers, during the budget, his original budget proposal, he put about $1.9 million in his proposal to continue funding these homes because the costs to do so are really just escalating. And during the budget process, the Republican-led budget writing committee took that out. And that final agreement didn't include those funds. And so the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs had went forward with closing the homes in Green Bay and Chippewa Falls, because that money to make sure those homes weren't, that those homes continued to be funded, wasn't there. So I believe it was mid-September that both Green Bay and Chippewa Falls, the last veterans, left those homes. But this bill that's currently going through the legislative process, Senator Andre Jacques, who's a Republican, and I believe he represented a district that's near Door County.
Correct. Yep.
He has a bill that has several pieces to it that would be helping veterans, including restoring that funding. But the question is, and it's still this political fight over what happened over the summer, is Governor Evers saying that this funding was there. We're going through this process, but this funding was there. We didn't have to do this. And Republicans are saying the same thing. And this bill actually did pass out of committee today, but the question is, does it get through the rest of the Senate? Does it get through the Assembly? And that's, it should, an issue like veterans, like helping homeless veterans, shouldn't be that
political. You would think that'd be a no-brainer. We're speaking with Brittany Carlone, the state government and political reporter at WisconsinWatch.org. You can find this and many other stories at WisconsinWatch.org. Reading the story, I think you laid out well in that too often, I think, to put it in layman's terms, it's just politics, right? Because, as you said, the governor had these monies in. The Republicans consciously left it out in the Joint Finance Committee. Then the ball gets hit back on the other side of the political court. Governor Evers, as part of the negotiating process, acquiesced to saying, okay, in the name of getting a budget deal done, if this is what you guys want to do, then fine, I'll do it. And I'm putting it down in very simplistic terms, but fine, we'll do it. But this is your choice. And now the Republicans are coming back and saying, well, it wasn't in the budget. So and it just seems, to your point, do you see a path forward where people can lay down their political partisan arms on both sides and just say, to put it in Tony Evers speak, get the damn bill passed?
I mean, that's a great question. And me being new to the way the Wisconsin Capitol works, I'm very curious how that works here. In Indiana, it would maybe be one of those things where a Republican proposal, you don't hear anything from Democrats. You don't hear, like, just because Republicans control the entire state house there. But here, just the fact that Governor Evers said he would a spokesperson for his office told me he would sign Senator Jacques' bill, and Jacques is a Republican. So
and pretty conservative one.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, especially as this bill, if it goes through the Senate and it heads to the Assembly, it'll be really interesting to see what Republicans over there think about what needs to go forward, because this bill doesn't just have the housing aspects of it. There's a property tax credit for disabled veterans or their surviving spouses, and there is a requirement to fund a missing in action veterans program at the University of Wisconsin. So do people care about these other pieces? Are they worried about that? Does that affect how this bill goes forward? It's a really good question.
So the bill, you said, passed out of Senate committee today. So that's new reporting. That's great to pass on. So it included all those provisions or just the one?
It included all those provisions.
All right. So so that's good news. Let's focus on that for a second. A little bit of good news here. It passes out of a Senate committee. Do you know it was a bipartisan vote or?
It was a bipartisan vote. Yep.
All right. So that's good.
It was the one vote against it was a Republican, and I don't believe he was concerned about the housing program. It was, I think he was concerned about the property tax credits.
All right. So at least we've passed out of committee on a bipartisan bill. Any word, and maybe this is too soon to know, but I'll ask it.
Yeah.
Any sense of a Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux and President Mary Fialkowski, who don't always get along behind closed doors, from reporting I've heard, are they going to allow this bill to go to the full floor of the Senate, or is it too soon to know that?
My understanding is there is a Senate floor session next Tuesday on the 14th, and I have yet to hear anything about a calendar out for that. So that's what I'm looking for, is like, does this head to the Senate floor next week? And if that's the case, if it's scheduled for that, what will that look like?
And for those that might not be, and good gosh, I would not blame you for this, but for those that aren't as political nerds as I am, and that Brittany are, the way it happens, to your point, Brittany, in the state Senate, is that a bill comes out of committee, and it is the executive, it's a very small group of people that decide what goes to the floor.
Exactly.
And it's essentially the majority leader, the assistant majority leader, and the president of the Senate. Those three people have to, and then there are two Democrats, the minority and the assistant minority leader, on that committee. That's the committee that decides what goes to the floor of the state Senate. And I've never known a time when it took one Democratic vote to get something to the floor of the Senate, or vice versa. It's always the majority party, and at the end of the day, it's usually just the majority leader and or the Senate. It's going to be very interesting now that we know that there's bad political blood between Lemieux and Fialkowski. You know, what's holding this up? So I know you're a real journalist. I'm just a talk show host. I would encourage our listening audience, if this is important to you, call your state senator. Or call your state senator, and then, you know what? I don't often say this, but call the majority leader and the president's office as well and tell them to schedule this bill. Because, Brittany, I feel like this is going to be a public pressure thing to get this on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things I really love about political journalism and writing about what happens in government offices, because somebody out across the state, they might know who their state senator is, they might know who their state representative is, but having a better understanding of like who these other players are at the Capitol, like who does make the decisions about what gets to the floor, who does decide maybe what gets a committee hearing, like there are some people in that building who may be decision makers about issues that somebody out in Wisconsin cares about, and it would be, I like making sure that people know who those players are and what they do and what they can do or not do when it comes to issues across the state.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got time to stick around one more segment here.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, very good. Now we're going to do a little business, as they say. When we come back, more with Brittany Carlone, the state government and political reporter at WisconsinWatch.org. What else is happening a block from where we sit right now in terms of bills that may get passed here in the fall session? And, since we talked political things as well, what are you hearing about the governor's race? You got Josh Call is out. Although he's going to run for his attorney general seat. And now it looks like Mandela Barnes is hinting he might be in. We'll discuss all that more with Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch on the other side. It's the All Balls Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We're talking about a new era in the state capitol. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which for great stations you listen to. Weather update. Mike Clemens, great sports reporter with a sports update in hour two of the show, including what's worse, it's National Taco Day. Hard shell or soft shell? That is the impending question coming up at hour two, along with some more real news as well. Right now, we're being joined at the desk here live in studio at the World Headquarters in Madison by the brand new sports. I got sports on my mind. Are you a Brewers fan?
Oh, absolutely.
What, did you watch the game last night?
I didn't end up watching the game last night, but I really enjoyed, there's this one photo on the Brewers Instagram of like all of the lights and I think like the closing pitcher coming out. The name is great.
Yeah, Uribe.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Really cool photo.
Brittany Carlone, who is the new state government and political politics reporter at WisconsinWatch.org. That's Wisconsin spelled out watch.org. Talking about her reporting on this bill, Senate Bill 411, Senate Bill 411. I can't speak for Brittany, but I would encourage you to call your legislator and tell them to, particularly your state senator, and get this bill on the Senate floor, because it would fix what I think is a travesty, which is putting our veteran, our Wisconsin veterans, who I think are heroes, who are the most vulnerable, and this ridiculous politics of the state budget, close these facilities for the unhoused, for veterans, and this, Brittany, would at least go a good way to helping reopen those facilities, correct?
Yes. So if this bill does pass, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, they have to do some grant and operating agreement renegotiations, but the Green Bay site, from my understanding in speaking with folks over there, that could reopen within a couple of months. It would take more time for the Chippewa Falls site, but the Department of Veterans Affairs is very insistent that they need that legislative okay for that to go forward.
All right. Well, call, this is coming from Todd, not Brittany, but call your state senator. Tell them to get off the schneid, as they say. Quit horsing around. As Pat Murphy say, enough of this horse crap. Help out our veterans. Get this bill passed. SB 411. Great reporting, Brittany. All right, the time we have left here, let's ask you this question, because we teased it here. Lots of movement, or at least some movement, on the Wisconsin governor's race today on the Democratic side. Attorney General Josh Call saying he's not going to run for governor. Instead, he'll run for re-election as attorney general. And now great reporter Molly Beck tweeting out here just moments ago from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly Beck says, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes tells her, quote, I'm strongly considering entering the race for governor. I've been blown away by the number of people across the state who have reached out and asked me to run, and I will have more to say very soon, unquote. That's from Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel. Brittany Carlone, you're reporting. What are you hearing? What's kind of the rumor mill right now in terms of, is Barnes going to get in? Or what's your outlook on this on today's news?
So there was a poll that I believe was published on Sunday that, even though Mandela Barnes isn't in the race yet, I believe it was a nonpartisan poll that came from Platform Communications. I think that's where
it was from Platform.
Yes, but they put him as a front runner, which
they did. They go ahead.
That was that, and obviously, like, there's probably more details in that poll this point, but that. I mean, if you're Mandela Barnes and you see things like that, right, and at this point with not having an incumbent in the race, it's kind of a fight to see who's going to win that name recognition at this point. And having been in state office before, I mean, Sarah Rodriguez has that name recognition at this point. I personally, from my reporting experiences, name recognition is a big thing. So.
Sure. No, I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah. I think former Lieutenant Governor Barnes certainly has the name ID on the Democratic side. This is a weird thing in the back of my head, just because I know my former party, the Republican Party, which I left in 2011, Platform Communications is run and either wholly or partly owned by a guy named Keith Jilks, who used to be Scott Walker's chief of staff. So I take the polling over there at Platform with a little grain of salt.
It's good to take all polling with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Unless it's the Charles Franklin Marquette Law School poll, your alma mater, which is, to me, the gold standard of polls.
And I believe the Marquette poll will be, if the last time I talked to Charles, I think there's one coming out at the end of October. So that's definitely one I'm watching for.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have I not asked you so far, Brittany Carlone, that you want to share with people, either about yourself or Wisconsin Watch or stories you guys are working on?
I mean, I'm just thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled to work with the team over there. One of the things that I would encourage people to subscribe to, Wisconsin Watch has three free weekly newsletters. The one I am obviously biased toward is Forward, which is our Monday politics newsletter, more politics themed work in there, things that I'm doing, things that my teammates are doing, like Tom Kircher with fact briefs that we
love Tom's
yes,
fact briefs.
Yes. So we relaunched Forward on Monday, and that should be in inboxes every Monday afternoon around 11 or late morning, early afternoon. Okay. And so I would encourage people to subscribe there. That way you can read more of the work that I'll be doing from the Capitol and the work that my colleagues are doing. I'm just absolutely thrilled to be here, and I look forward to coming back and talking about more.
I can't wait. You always have a welcome microphone and a seat at this desk, and you know, I'm sure your boss Matt DeFore is listening in. And so, Matt, I'll be excited to tell you that Brittany and I are going to be doing a joint WisconsinWatch.org and Civic Media Political Roundtable at the Snook on Markle Island in February. So that'll be great.
Perfect weather.
Hey, there's no better time to go to the Snook at Marco than February. Appreciate it. Brittany Carloni of WisconsinWatch.org. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Come on back. Mark, we'll take your call on the other side, talking about more politics, and also what's worse for a National Taco Day, and maybe some more music here as well. Don't worry, it's the Todd Allball Show for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown entering its second week, about 750,000 federal workers furloughed without pay. Now President Trump says some of them may not even get back pay, even though it's the law.
For the most part, we're going to take care of our people. There are some people that really don't deserve to be taken care of, and we'll take care of them in a different way.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem made a high-profile visit to an ICE facility in Portland on Tuesday amid a legal battle over sending federal troops to the Oregon city. And President Trump threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act if courts block his attempts to deploy National Guard troops in cities like Portland and Chicago. Boston police say what appeared to be a pro-Palestinian demonstration near Boston Common ended with four injured Boston police officers and 13 arrests on Tuesday evening. Protesters setting off smoke devices, kicking police cars, blocking traffic, assaulting officers, say police. Two of the officers sent to hospitals. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court.